Welcome to the Dr. Dobbs Journal podcast. I'm your host, Mike Riley. In this podcast, I spoke with Paramel Deshpande, product manager for Microsoft User Experience, about rich internet application technologies that Microsoft is creating as part of its user experience strategy.
Let me take a higher level up than just the RIAs, which we call it the user experience, or UX, as I'm going to say it in this conversation. Just to give you context of UX, you know, if you in the consumer world, you know, if you see what people are doing on the consumer side, you know, be it driving cars, for example, compare a BMW versus a Hugo, right, the car. BMW and Hugo both essentially have the same, you know, end goal, which is to take a customer from or a passenger from point A to point B. But the difference is in the experience that the driver or the passengers derive from a BMW, with the pride of ownership, the branding, the navigation, the handling, the steering, et cetera, et cetera. Likewise, we believe at Microsoft that it's time that we need to deliver the software, the platform, and the tools that these consumers who so expect UX in the consumer world would also expect UX in the software world as well, and it's up to us to deliver the platform and the tooling so they can deliver the UX promise.
And what are some of the components that comprise that UX strategy?
If you want, I could take a scenario-based approach. And
sure.
If you, you know, want to know the components of UX, let's analyze, you know, what users are doing in software. So one scenario is users of information workers who are working in their enterprises and offices, who are doing a lot of, you know, line of business applications, or they are, you know, using these line of business applications. So LOB or forms-based application is one scenario. One component of that, of the all of UX strategy that delivers this scenario, is Windows Forms, as our listeners may have used it before. The second scenario, which is more on differentiated smart client applications, for example, applications that ISVs are building to target their end users that are more consumer-facing, that are branded, there is a need for the platform to have incredible richness in terms of integration of UI, media elements, and documents. For that, the second component of our UX strategy is Windows Presentation Foundation,
mm-hmm.
which really unifies UI, media, and docs, and media as in 2D, 3D graphics, vectographics, audio, video, imaging, styling, and so on. The third component of our UX strategy, again, a scenario is to take the same or a similar Windows Smart Client application and to use that in an ubiquitous way, as in take it cross-platform and cross-browser and devices. Cross-platform as in not just Windows but even Mac, and then cross-browser as in not just IE but also Firefox and Netscape and so on. For that, we have a subset of Windows Presentation Foundation called Windows Presentation Foundation Everywhere. It's the code name that we announced, you know, about a year back, and then we showed the demos at MIX.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is, again, is to optimize the WPF functionality for reach scenarios. The fourth component of our UX strategy is standards-based, you know, applications for the web. Now, UC Web has taken off in a big way these days, and what they need, again, is something that's not proprietary but, again, standards-based. For that,
mm-hmm.
we have Atlas, you know, previously codenamed Atlas, which is now called ASP.NET Ajax. And then the fifth component from a platform perspective is a scenario for extreme gaming or extreme scientific applications that just need, you know, amazing power or richness, such as surround sound and surround 3D and so on. For that, our technology, which is the fifth piece of the puzzle, is DirectX. Now, this is just a platform view. Obviously, platform means APIs, it means richness. But to deliver on the platform, our customers have, you know, they need tools as well to be productive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the whole promise is UX, that UX matters and that's something that customers want, then design matters. And if design matters, then designers matter. And therefore, we want to make sure that designers are a first-class citizen of the product development process. By first-class, I mean a designer can work at the same level as a developer and communicate the design process with the developer, not via, you know, mockups and wireframes and JPEGs, but via the tools. And for that, we are introducing a new line of products called the Microsoft Expression, line of products for creative professionals, right? So to sum it up, we believe in UX. We're a committed UX vendor in that, you know, we ourselves live the UX philosophy at Microsoft, with, you know, see Windows Vista or Office. We have a platform, you know, for various UX scenarios, Windows Forms, Windows Presentation Foundation, WPFE, Atlas, and DirectX, and then we have consistent tooling, Visual Studio for developers and Expression for designers who can then take these platforms and deliver the UX that consumers need today.
Can you talk on how these would be a cross-platform experience?
There are two approaches one could take. One is, you know, if some customer has already invested in Windows Presentation Foundation for the Windows Client platform, for example, then they obviously don't want to reinvent the wheel or use a completely different, you know, platform or a tool set to take that investment and apply it cross-platform across browser. For that, we have designed Windows Presentation Foundation Everywhere, which is a subset of WPF, you know, meaning it's something that's optimized for a small size download that will work on, you know, not just Windows but Mac, and then also the cross-browser scenarios and then eventually devices too.
Any plans for Linux?
We have been thinking about it, but that being said, whether we do it or we work with a vendor to do it is something that is still to be determined.
And when is the WPF-E expected to be available?
We announced at MIX this year, which was in March-April timeframe, that we will release WPF-E sometime next year, which is, you know, first half of next year.
Can you talk about what XAML or XAML is, and how does that fit within the user experience?
XAML stands for Extensible Application Markup Language. It's, again, XML-based. The reason or the motivation for XAML is as follows. One, you know, we're talking about UI here, right? UI as in UI is a key component of UX, although UX is more than UI, at mm-hmm. least in the way we think about Microsoft. A key component of, again, UX is UI, and so we need to make sure that there is a clear separation of the UI logic and the business logic. Now, in the past, oftentimes what would happen is because there wasn't a clean separation enforced in the architecture, there would be some business logic in the UI, and it would get messy to maintain the code, et cetera, et cetera. XAML enforces a clean separation between UI and business logic in that the UI is described in the XAML structure, and each XAML then again has a partial, you know, C# class or VB.NET class, whatever the language is, which would then contain the business logic of that application. There's a second motivation, which is a very interesting motivation for XAML, and you'll see how why that is so key for UX if it has to work. Previously, I mentioned if UX matters, then design matters, and if design matters, then designers matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
If designers matter, they need to be made of, you know, on par. They need to be completely be made a part of the development process. Today, you know, imagine there is no XAML, there is no WPF. This is how it works. I'm a designer, or you are a developer. I do some, you know, the mockups of the UI, you know, using the tools that I like, and then I, you know, either pass them off to you as JPEGs or wireframes or, you know, printouts or what have you. And then you as a developer either try to interpret that design and then try to recreate that in code. What happens in the process is that either if you're not trained in UX and aesthetics and the UI or how to think from a user perspective, you're not going to really understand what I as a designer am trying to tell you. The design fidelity is lost, so to speak, in that translation between a human to human or between a designer and a developer.
Mm-hmm.
Second, you might say, you know what, Parimal, you know, your design rocks. It looks good, but either I don't have time to implement the whole thing, or the functionality, again, is not rich enough for me to do all this cool stuff that you're asking me to do.
Sure.
Right? So XAML, again, the second advantage of XAML is that it's toolable. It allows us to deliver role-specific tools. The two roles, obviously, are one is Visual Studio for a developer. The second role is a designer. For that, we have the Microsoft Expression Interactive Designer. The idea is that a designer would, you know, design the UI using Expression Interactive Designer, and then export the XAML file, because backend is XAML, export the XAML file to a developer who would then consume the XAML file or the project in Visual Studio, which is his or her preferred tool, and then add the business logic. Obviously, they will do some amount of back and forth and iterations. And it really helps RAD, brings down the cost, really helps them bounce off the goodness of each other against them, and keeps them specific to what they're really good at. Is developer who's good at business logic and functionality, while a designer who's good at UI and UX. That translation now will be done by XAML between Visual Studio and Expression.
Does Microsoft foresee a whole new XAML-based component market opening up as a result of this?
Absolutely. If you think of XAML as a hub around which there will be other role-specific tools, because in the end, the ideal, you know, the nirvana of application development is that there are multiple roles, you know, developer one, designer being the other one, who contribute to a development process so that they all bring their strengths or the perspectives to the process. Now, what better way to ensure success than to make sure that whatever they're trying to say and to communicate is done through a tool and nothing is lost in the translation. So, yes, we do expect there to be, you know, an ecosystem of tools and export modules and so on. In fact, we already have some of them today. So, XAM3D is a tool by Electric Rain that is, again, in the market. You can go to the website and download that. Again, a designer. The other one is a MobiFarm, Aurora MobiFarm, that is, again, a XAML editor. We are also finding that because XAML is something that lets designers reuse assets, there are also plugins available for other tools such as Illustrator and Maya for that let them export their assets into XAML so that they could then be consumed into their, you know, application development process.
So obviously things like XAML and WPF and WPFE aren't strictly intended for, say, Microsoft's next generation operating system Vista, but rather it's going to be applicable and executable on platforms such as Windows 2000, Windows XP as well?
I think I need to clarify there. Windows Presentation Foundation is a part of .NET Framework 3.0, which is, you know, part of Windows Vista. But that being said, we took a decision a year back, you know, based on our customer feedback that they want WPF and .NET Framework 3.0 to work not just on Windows Vista, but also Windows XP SP2.
Okay.
And Windows Server 2003 SP1. So the OSs that WPF will work on, or the client operating systems, will be Windows Vista, Windows XP, and Windows Server 2003.
And XP Service Pack 2 users can use the same tool sets that are right now running on Vista.
Exactly.
To be able to develop the WPF applications.
Exactly. Now, that's WPF. WPFE is a subset functionality of WPF or subset XAML, because the underlying is still XAML. But the goal there is not just Windows, but cross-platform, cross-browser. So in that case, it's going to work on not only those three that I mentioned right now, but also back up to Windows 2000, and then not just Windows, but also Mac. And then we, like I said earlier, we may, you know, choose to work with the vendor, or the vendor may work on the Linux piece, and then the browser and devices as well.
Well, it sounds very exciting. I can't wait to actually see these new applications in operation. And it's a lot of people I know who are very, very interested in seeing what Microsoft's been working on and how this is going to completely change the landscape of rich internet applications and the expectations that people are going to have in the future.
Absolutely. You know, we are totally excited, too, because I think it comes down to, you know, we have spent a lot of time analyzing where users are, you know, be they end users on the web or information workers. And we see, you know, the touch points, the five big touch points are, you know, they're either on Windows or Office or the web or, you know, devices or digital home. And we see our role is to be a UX citizen in that, not just advocate UX, but also provide the platform and tooling so that there is a better together story for our customers. They can choose any one touch point or two touch points, but, you know, and then bet on the platform and tooling, and we are there to help them deliver on the UX promise.
For more information about Microsoft's UX strategy, visit msdn.microsoft.com. For more information about this and other Dr. Dobbs Journal podcasts, visit www.ddj.com. For Dr. Dobbs Journal, I'm Mike Riley.